Hello and welcome again to our services online. This is Pastor William Coleman of the Crossroads Baptist Church, and we've got an exciting message for you today. It's going to be a challenge. We're asking you this question: what is the one thing that you need your faith to do? In other words, faith doesn't just apply to just many things. There's one real good reason why you need faith. It's going to come from the scriptures, Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, and also Hebrews 11:6. And as you're turning there, we're going to bow in a word of prayer and just ask God to bless us in time in His word that we might be well fed. Let's pray. Father, thank you again for your amazing love and your amazing grace. Bless us now as we pray together. Bless us now as we search your word and find the answers that we need to live in these troubled times. We ask, Lord, that you would nourish us, help us to be strong in you and in the power of your might. Pray for those, Lord, that are in need of prayer, those that are weak, those that are sick in body, and more importantly, those that have been impacted by this virus. I pray your healing strength, and I pray your deliverance. In Jesus' name, amen and amen. I want to just share with you a song entitled, Yes, God is Real. It's written by Kenneth Morris, and it's one that we can rely on in our time of need. Yes, God is real. Some things I may not know. There are some places I can't even go, but I am sure of this one thing, that God is real, for I can feel Him deep within. God is real. He's real in my soul. Yes, God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me, just like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I cannot tell just how you felt when Jesus washed all your sins all away. But since that day, oh, and since that hour, God has been real, and I can feel His holy power. God is real, for He has washed and made me whole. His love for me is like pure gold. Yes, God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. God is real, for I can feel Him in my soul. I want to share with you the Word of God and to challenge you in your faith. I know there are a lot of people that say they have faith and they say, well, I believe that God exists. And as we just shared in that song, God is real, we know that. But I want to share with you, what is the one thing that you need your faith to do? What is the one thing that you depend on when you're talking about this element of faith? I'm going to share with you the scriptures that God gives us. First from Romans chapter 12 and verse 3, for I say through the grace given to me to everyone among you, not to think of himself more highly as he ought to think, but to think soberly, according as God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. Romans 12 and verse 3. And then in Hebrews 11 and verse 6, it says, but without faith, it is impossible to please God. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of them who diligently seek him. Now, I know there are a lot of people that are saying, I've got faith, preacher. And I know what it means to believe God, but I want to challenge you, what is the one thing that you need faith to do? And this all starts by asking a question of ourselves, why do I need my faith? Now, I know some people say, well, I need to have that confidence, and I need to have that ability to know that things are going to work out right. That's fine, but what we're talking about is not human strength, not human energy, not human effort. We're talking about something that originates from God. Why do you need your faith? Now, a lot of times we say, well, what about this thing about human achievement and human effort? Shouldn't I apply my faith when I'm trying to graduate from college, or I'm trying to accomplish things, or I'm trying to apply myself for promotion? Again, that's good and that's well, but all of that goes back to the thing of where we're relying on our human ability and not really divine strength. Now, don't get me wrong. We still need God to guide us in doing these things. And as the Old Testament says, the things revealed belong to us and the things that are hidden belong to God. But what I'm saying is this element of us being given this faith is not just for us to do the natural things. Did you hear what I said? It's not for us simply to do the natural things. It is for us to operate in this divine realm based on what God has revealed and based on what he wants us to do. That's where you and I need to be operating. And there are a lot of people losing their faith. They're losing their faith in this pandemic. They're losing their faith in circumstances that are coming against them because they've not been able to, first of all, draw that strength from God and then apply it to their circumstances in life. Let me tell you something. Over the last couple of weeks, I've renewed my faith and commitment, not because I mustered up the strength on my own, but because I prayed and I asked God. I said, Lord, I'm being drained of my energy. Lord, I need your presence and I need your strength. And you know what God did? God renewed my strength as he renewed my faith. So you've got to ask yourself, what is the one thing that I need my faith to do? Yes, human achievement is good. As a matter of fact, we should do that. That's why God blessed you and gave you energy, but there comes a time where we cannot rely on our own human strength. There comes a time where we have to operate in God's faith. Let me just give you something that a reason why God gave you faith. First of all, when it comes to seeking God, God did not want you're finding him based on human energy or human revelation. That's why it says in Romans, he gave you, listen to this, he gave you the measure of faith so that you could find him. He didn't want you searching about in other religions, other faith or other things and thinking you had God, because your soul is more precious than some search that you might go on in life. Your soul depends on you finding God. And so what God did is he gave you life, but then he gave you this thing called faith. How do I know that? It says he dealt to everyone the measure of faith. Now, being dealt something doesn't mean that you really work with it. You may ignore it. You may say, I don't know whether it's there or not, but God gave you that gift of faith so that you could find him. He gave you that measure of faith that you would have that in your life. But not only did he give it for you to find him, God gave you that measure of faith so that you could know him. There are people making guesses about God. They're assuming that God is this and God is that. But if you had faith, you would know him. You would know who he was, because then you'd be able to go to his word and God would reveal himself. Then you could say, the Lord is my shepherd. The Lord is the light of my life. The Lord is the one that delivers me from times of darkness. You would know him because you had faith. God doesn't just want to leave that to your human achievement, because in the flesh, our flesh is limited. Our flesh is limited because sometimes we don't even want to do the things that are right because of our flesh. But when God gives us faith, when God speaks faith into our lives, then we can rise up and we can say, Lord, I've come to do your will. I want to obey you. Which brings us to the last thing that we're talking about, and this actually introduces us to this other verse. Not only has God dealt to us the measure of faith, but this is what it says in Hebrews 11:6 again. But without faith, if you didn't have faith, it is impossible, not difficult, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to God must believe that God is, or that God exists, and that he is a rewarder to them that diligently seek him. Now, what a lot of us do, we'll pick up that verse and we will assume that our faith has been given so that we could be rewarded. No, it said God would reward you if you had faith. It didn't say you use faith to get rewards. You cannot manipulate God. It doesn't work that way. But if you please him, if you know him, and if you find him, then God says, because you know me, because you found me, what I'm going to do, I'm going to reward your life. I'm going to shower you with things that you never imagined that you could receive in your life. Let me give you an example before we get into the things that we want to apply this to as far as the goals of faith. When you find faith, when God gives you this faith, you not only come to know him, but you want to apply what he's doing and what he is, how he's operating in your life. The Bible tells us that Solomon in the Old Testament, 1 Kings chapter 4, verses 11 and 13, he had been anointed king, but in that anointing, God gave him some faith. Remember, God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. So God gave him that anointing, but in that anointing, God also gave Solomon faith. So when he prayed a prayer, he didn't pray, God, make me rich. God, destroy all of my enemies. God, give me influence and power. Solomon got on his knees, and he prayed that God would give him wisdom so that he would be able to lead his people. And you know what? That prayer that he prayed in faith pleased God. And here's what God said to him. Because you have not prayed for long life or riches, or the destruction of your enemy, but you have prayed for understanding and judgment, I have both given you riches and honor. So in other words, Solomon used his faith to please God, and in pleasing God, God responded to Solomon and said, because you didn't ask for this, I'm going to throw that in. I'm going to give that anyway. You not know that when you seek God, you'll find everything that you need? Of course. You say, that's obvious. But there are a lot of people who won't seek him because they're seeking him the wrong way. Or they're seeking him with motives in their heart. They're seeking him because they know that God has all the riches, so hey, God, why not give me some of that? That is not why you seek God. You seek God for one thing, and that is to know God, to love him, and to worship him. A man by the name of John Kitchen wrote a novel or a book, rather, on long story short. And John Kitchen based his entire work, his entire development of faith, he said this, faith means two things. It means that everything is by the grace of God. Everything is by God's grace. You would have never have received it had it not been an act of God's grace. Whatever you have today is an act of God's grace. And by the way, some of you are counting what you don't have when you ought to be rejoicing over what you do have. God has given you this day, and he's given you opportunities. So John Kitchen said that everything is based on a gift of God's grace. But then he says the second most important point is that the goal of everything is the glory of God. The goal is not to see me have riches, pleasures, or all these things. That's not the goal. God may give it the same way he gave it to Solomon. God may give those things, but the reason why God does this is for his glory. Do you not know that we, as people all over this world, have been extremely blessed, and yet many have not given glory to God? They've not offered up their praise unto Almighty God. So now that we've talked about the one reason why you have your faith, and that is to find God, to seek God, and to know him better and serve him, that's the reason why you've been given this faith. And as John Kitchen said, it's by God's grace. He gave you that gift of faith, and it's for his glory that he's given unto you. I want to give you three basic things that you need to put as a goal in your life. You need to have the goal. If you're going to be given this gift of faith, let's look at the goal. No one goes out and plays a sport without a goal. They got some type of goal that is visible, some type of way of knowing that you've done the right thing. Here are the goals that you need to place in your life as a believer in God. The first goal of your faith in pleasing God is to please him in times of distress. In times of distress. When things are going well, oh, we're good. Oh, we even say to one another, isn't God good? But when things are going bad, what do we say? I'm hanging in there. Well, you're not hanging anywhere. God gave you faith. God gave you something to trust him and something to believe on him and to say, Lord, I know that you're in control of my life. God gave Abraham faith. Abraham was able to serve God even in times of distress. We just think, oh, he just walked over to the promised land. No, he journeyed it. He had to go through tribulation. He had to go through trials. He had to go through struggles. And right now, some of you are going through the worst struggles of your life. But hold on. God has not changed. Heaven is not broke. God can make a way out of no way. He's still good, and he can still bless even in these times of distress. God will bless you, and God will keep you in these times of distress because he's given you this faith. And this faith that we have is to please him. That's the one thing that faith is going to do. When do you please him? You please him in times of distress. The Bible tells us in Matthew chapter 14 that the disciples found themselves out in the middle of the Sea of Galilee, and a storm came up. And it began to just encircle the ship that they were in. But notice this, the Bible tells us in that same chapter that Jesus came to them walking on the water. Now, while they were all terrified, Peter said, Lord, if it is you, see, God gave him faith. He said, if it is you, bid me come to you walking on the water. And do you not know in that time of distress, in that time of storm, in that time of difficulty, Peter stepped out of that boat. The wind was still raging. The waves were still roaring. Peter stepped out of that boat to go to Jesus. But then guess what? Right in the midst of that, he took his eyes off Jesus. He took his eyes off the one who controlled all of that. And Peter began to sink. And some of you are sinking right now because you have your eyes on your situation, on your circumstance, rather than keeping your eyes fixed on Jesus. If you want to please him in the time of distress, you got to maintain your focus. You got to maintain where you're going and not what you're going through. Don't look at your circumstances. All they're going to tell you is it's over. That's all your circumstances are going to tell you. But if you look at God, God will tell you you got one more day. You got one more second. God will cause you to live. Listen, he will cause you to live in this moment. The Bible said that with the faith that Peter had, he called out to Jesus, Lord, save me. He called out to Jesus, Lord, save me. And Jesus took hold of his hand and asked him this question. Why did you doubt? Why was your faith so small? Now, ladies and gentlemen, if God has given you faith, that faith is not some inner ability that we have. That faith is in the ability of Almighty God. He's the same God that hung the heavens. He's the same God that created the world. He's the same God that gave you life. Now, don't you think that this same God who controls everything ought to be able to control the circumstances in your life? As a matter of fact, he's designed those circumstances to test your faith. He's designed them to come along in your journey so that you'd not be walking by your own power, but by the faith that God has given you. Which brings us to the second reason why God has given us faith. We've given faith to please God in times of distress, but also we've been given this faith to please God in our decisions. You're going to make a number of decisions. You're going to make a lot of them. Sometimes they won't look like they're the best decisions. But here's what happens. I don't know how you make your decision, but most of the time I look at it from the standpoint, what's in it for me? How is it going to work out for my own benefit? Now, did you not know the Bible warns about that? It warns us by saying, don't lean to your own understanding. In all of your ways, trust God. Know that God is in control. But I'm looking at how much profit am I going to make out of this? Am I going to be safe? And do you not know that God has brought about these things so that you can decide? Remember, as John Kitchen said, by his grace and for his glory. Notice what it says again in Hebrews 11, 6. But without faith, it is impossible to please God, because anyone who comes to him must believe that he is. And look at this. And he rewards those who earnestly seek him. Earnestly seek God means I'm going to have to sweat sometimes. And the best example of one who poured out his heart before God was Jesus himself. There he was. He'd done everything according to God's will and God's plan. He'd not broken any of his commands, because Jesus was the perfect man as he was holy God. Jesus had conquered everything, but we find him in the Garden of Gethsemane praying this prayer. Father, not my will, but your will be done. Not what I want, but what you want. Now, we'll pray prayers like, Lord, I need you to pay my bill. Lord, I need you to make this happen. Lord, I pray that this won't get me in trouble. We'll pray a lot of those emergency crisis prayers, but this is what Jesus prayed. Father, not my will, but yours be done. Are we bold enough? And ladies and gentlemen, I'm convicted, because I know that I've not always prayed like that, but I want to. Because I want to please God. I'm realizing now that my prayer life is not dependent on the words I bring up or the words I think about. My prayer life has to be rooted in faith. How much do I love God? How much am I willing to sacrifice because I love God? And am I willing to make this decision based on God's glory, by God's grace? I know that he's going to work things out. I know that he's going to cause things to work together for good. I may have to struggle right now when I make this decision, but I want to make that decision based on the faith that pleases him. And I want to close with this. Not only is our faith given so that we can apply it in times of distress to please God, not only is our faith given so that we can please God in our decision making, but our faith is given that we can please God in our devotion. Now, I'm not going to ask you for your calendar. I'm not going to ask you how much time do you spend in prayer. But I can tell you out of my own conviction, I spend a whole lot of time doing the things that I want. As a matter of fact, I don't even tithe my time. I spend a lot of my time, first of all, I want to get my rest. And then I'm eating, and then I'm like you, I'm on Facebook, and I'm doing all these other things. How much time am I spending with my loving Heavenly Father? I've been convicted in this, because one thing that this coronavirus has done, it's made me pray more, and that has focused on my lack of prayer. Now watch this. If I don't pray, it's not going to happen. Because prayer is the birthplace of God doing a mighty work. If you don't pray, even says in 2 Chronicles, if my people would pray. But a lot of people are assuming that God's going to automatically heal the land. No, follow the word of God. It said, if my people would pray, turn from their wicked ways, because in your prayer, you're going to discover that pleasing God is not just God pouring out blessing upon your life. Pleasing God is turning away from your sin. turning away from your disobedience and saying, God, you're first in my life. I want to seek you. Even if you don't bless me, I still want to seek you because it's the right thing to do. When you start having that attitude, God will open up doors of opportunity. He'll start rewarding you, not just for reward's sake, but so that you can develop and that you can do more with the resources that he's given you. That's what God wants to do. So pleasing him is to please him with your faith in your devotion. It says in that verse, but without faith it is impossible to please God, because anyone, watch this, anyone who comes to him must believe that God exists. Now, we kind of read that God is a real God, but is he real right now at this moment in your circumstance? Is God so real in your life that even if nothing else goes right, you know that God is still perfect? If everything crumbles in your life, you know that God is still blessing you. Let me give an example of pleasing God in your devotion. A young man by the name of Joseph in the Bible tells us that he grew up as the favored son. And yet in one day, that favored son turned into being a slave because he had been sold into captivity by his brothers. And in that condition, Joseph never forgot who he was. And he applied his faith, not only in slavery, but later when he was falsely accused, he applied his faith in the jail. And then Joseph, one day God decided, Joseph, I've let you go on through struggles, and you've been devoted to me. Joseph was promoted to the palace because of his faith. Now, what we want to do, we want to go from wild circumstance right to the palace. That may not be the pathway. Sometimes it means going through tribulation and heartache. But if you use your faith to please God, God will do his part in rewarding you according to your faith. Let me recapitulize the verses that we talked about. Romans 12:3, it says, don't think of yourself more highly than you ought to. You ought to think of yourself as being a good person. Yeah, you ought to. But then don't think more highly than you ought to, because God has given you faith to please him. He says that God has dealt to everyone the measure of faith. And then in Hebrews 11:6, without faith, if you took that out of your life, it is impossible to please God, because you must believe that God has given you that faith to honor him, even in troubled times, when you make your decisions, and also in your devotion. So how are you living this life of faith? Turn your life over to God right now and say, Lord, I want you to come into my life. Show me how to live by faith. Show me how to please you, that I might honor your name. Until next time, this is Pastor Bill Coleman of the Crossroad Baptist Church inviting you, use your faith to please God. God bless you until then.